Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Are you a lifelong fan of General Hospital? Are you a new fan who wants to know more about the history of the show?
Do you enjoy talking about the show with others?
Do you find yourself yelling at the TV?
Is your self-care an hour a day in Port Charles?
If so, we invite you to join hosts
Amanda Kimmel
and Shannon Coach at the place where all the hidden conversations take place and secrets are revealed.
Meet us at Pier 54,
a General Hospital fan podcast. Hello!
Hi!
Welcome to the General Hospital recap for March 25th through 29th, 2024. And guess what? This episode's being released on April 1st, 2024.
That's insane.
That is our five-year anniversary, and it's the same day of the week that we released. So this is actually, well, I don't think we did a recap for our first one. I think we did our intro.
I think it was like a combo, wasn't it?
Probably. It was. Do we dare go
back? I feel
back
like and it was
listen?
A combo.
I don't want to go back and listen.
No, I don't want to go back and listen, but I think it was a combo, like get to know us, but also discussing that week to kind of this is what we're going to do.
Right. Okay. So, I can't go back to like the very beginning. Okay. That would take way too long because we are at 530 episodes.
That's crazy.
That's how many we've released. And we kind of forgot that April was coming up and that it was our five-year anniversary. So we've planned nothing special. But we are talking about the minor mob families on this upcoming Port Charles 411. And nobody emailed me on this. And I'm really happy about it because as I was editing, I'm an idiot. We're doing the HIPAA for mobs and MIPA. Enforcer begins with an E, not an I.
Yeah, it does.
So I put it on the picture in parentheses, E, next to the I.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yep, never even crossed my mind when we said it.
Nope. And you know what? I don't think it's even when I was editing. I think it's when I was writing up the show notes and I was typing it. And I was like, oh. I spelled it correctly when I was doing
absolutely
the notes, but not, you know how that happens when you just think of things.
Yep.
So we do have one Port Charles pipeline that is pretty specific to Sunny and everything that happened on Friday. So I feel like we can wait for that to bring it up. That way we can tie it into our discussion. So let's just remember.
Okay. Remember.
Yes. And then because I'm a nerd, I'm sure no one's going to be surprised by this. We talked about the Kevin conversation last week and I meant to go back and listen because he didn't really seem, he cited that one book as kind of the start of psychiatry, right? And the start of studying, but it wasn't specific to what Marshall and Stella were talking about, right? Like he did not reference anything. Oh my gosh, is it a thing? It was labeled the protest psychosis.
Oh, wow.
Like, so there is a book, The Protest Psychosis. I did not read it, but it's Jonathan M. Metzl, How Schizophrenia Became a Black Disease.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that is the most clear
right title,
you know, that this really, really was. I mean, we talked about it, you know, they're four times more likely, you know, we read that, but I mean, this is a powerful encounter of how cultural anxieties about race shaped America's notions of mental illness. The civil rights era is largely remembered as a time of sit-ins, boycotts, and riots, but a very different civil rights history evolved in the Ionia, because it's Ionia State Hospital. So again, it is a specific place too. Mm-hmm. For the criminally insane in Ionia, Michigan. If you are from there, I am so sorry that I am probably mispronouncing it. In The Protest Psychosis, psychiatrist and cultural critic Jonathan Metzl tells the shocking story of how schizophrenia became the diagnostic term overwhelmingly applied to African-American protesters at Ionia for political reasons as well as clinical ones. Expertly shifting through a vast array of cultural documents, Metzl shows how association between schizophrenia and blackness emerged during the tumultuous decades of the 60s and 70s. And he provides a cautionary tale of how anxieties about race continue to impact doctor-patient interactions in our seemingly post-racial America.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. And then psycom.net has an entire article from February 2022. Why aren't we talking about schizophrenia and black people? And it talks about how it was. This is actually how I found that book. But it talks all about what we got wrong about schizophrenia, how it got tied. And it's because of the protests and everything. So instead of listening to them.
Right. They just label them as mentally ill.
Correct. The same. I mean, they did that with women, and that's why they were prescribed Valium. You know, it was
right.
You know, oh, it's not postpartum. They're blah blah blah. You know,
right.
And then there's other articles that I guess this Jonathan Metzl guy is really big in this topic because he's referenced in another from segregating schizophrenia from July 2014, and it talks about prior to the 60s, schizophrenia and associated diagnoses had been primarily for white women, often ones who exhibited emotional dissociation, not violence or other symptoms.
Mm.
Yep. So yeah, it's even more than what Kevin said. And it's kind of, I'm really sad that they didn't bring up, I mean, this is a very specific state and hospital that they are talking about in all of these articles.
Right.
I wish
maybe they will though, because they didn't hit on it this week.
Mm-mm.
We didn't see Marshall at all this week, and Stella was busy with Dante, and Curtis was busy with Laura. So maybe that'll be part of next week's conversation, that Marshall will say, I've done my own research to start understanding this and like really working through it emotionally. And I see I'm not the only one, unfortunately, that's gone through all of this.
Yeah, because they also, I did look up, we don't know where they're actually from.
Right.
So I kind of want them to be from Michigan.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
So, no, because he already knew they must be from New York. Never mind, because Kevin said the doctor you saw had a reputation about him.
Oh.
So it must be someone that Kevin is at least familiar with in this. I feel like this specific case that I found, or like the hospital, right, is like a known thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like that specific doctor is probably just local to, darn it. We are so good at certain subjects. And then other ones, it's like they just drop the ball on any research.
Right. No, I'm going to have faith that they're going to pull out some more information.
Yeah, I
feel like this is such a sensitive topic,
mm-hmm,
that they can't just stop here. Like, why would you even bring it up if you were just going to stop here?
Right. And I feel like that's what they were maybe trying to do with Kevin even starting to give that history or whatever. But yes, he was talking about a fictional real doctor, or like a fictional doctor. Right. There's a real case here, you know, and it could say maybe this doctor came from Michigan.
Right.
Maybe we made it where this doctor came from Michigan and he had been working in the Ionia State Hospital. I don't know.
Right. Maybe he got disciplined there and so he had to move on to New York.
Okay.
And like redo his research there.
Okay. Or maybe some of his peers also. Yeah. They need to do what we said about like going through the files and trying to reach out to these people too about, hey, you're probably not schizophrenic.
Right.
You know, it's, yeah. So that was the little nerd out that I had this week.
Okay. Well, thank you. Cause yeah, it's crazy. It's interesting. Like, oh, I want to know more. But at the same time, it's one of those things where you're like, really? Why was this a thing? Why is this our history?
That's an excellent question.
That's a whole nother podcast. Well,
kind of on the same subject, though, I'll just give like a tiny reality check. I was speaker for one of my meetings this week, and I talked about how there are issues with people with disabilities and housing. And I touched on, I said, you know, so many people are always like, this is a new thing, you know, not just autism, but like, you know, the number of people that have any kind of mental health or disabilities or whatever. And I said, you know, one of the ways is because the diagnoses have all changed, you know, but very much like this, you know, it was one thing and then it became another thing. And so other people were getting diagnosed, but autism and like, or other mental health differences. And then I said, but the truth we don't really talk about is the fact in 1907, there was the Immigration Act in which children or anybody, including children, that was seen to have, and they used colorful language like being idiots, feeble-minded, physically disabled. They used other words, but like those were the, I can't think of the words that they used, but I just remember that idiocy and feeble-mindedness are two words that they used, including children, were not allowed into the country. And the ship's captains were the ones in charge. So they had to leave them at their original port or country. And if they made it here and then we found that they were not fit to be here, it was the captain's responsibility to transport them back on their dime.
Oh my God.
And so that was 1907. And it really didn't become actually fully phased out until the 60s. So think about that time. Like, think about the people that are having the kids now. You know, it's all those things. And so they started doing things like, maybe we shouldn't be ripping kids away from their parents. And if they have money, maybe we should let them in. And then, oh my gosh, how do we actually know that they aren't, quote, smart if we don't do an IQ test? So they would do things like that. And they very, very slowly. And then I brought up, you know, you don't see them in the workplace because in 1938, they was signed into law that they were allowed to be underpaid. And it's still a law. It's being, quote, revised right now, but it's still a law. They're allowed to be underpaid. And then I brought up the institutions. I'm like, and even when we did finally allow them here, you know, parents basically kept their kids at home if they weren't the picture perfect, whatever.
Right.
And or institutionalized them. And I said, in Pennsylvania, we just closed our most popular institutions last year. One of which had been under investigation since 1973 for things like putting people in cages, putting 100 people in a room to sleep, tying them to their beds, not allowing them to go to the bathroom. Like 50 years it took to close that place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's why you didn't really see them. We weren't allowed to.
Right. And
the equal education, you know, that wasn't even a thing until 93. So what, I was in middle school before somebody with an intellectual disability had the right to the same education I did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's the real answer. So that was fun. And I was like, so this is why housing's now an issue, is because they're allowed to be in public.
Right.
Just horrible.
Wow.
Our history is messed up.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not that podcast, guys. Sorry. But that was something that I did this week. And I was like, oh, wait, I actually just talked about this the other day, too. All right. On a lighter note, let's go to Hulu headlines.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
Nope.
Okay. So on Monday, Jason tells his story. Elizabeth is overcome with emotion. You and I both have the same confused look on our face. Oh, we're doing Zoom today because we're doing like first thing Saturday morning because of Easter weekend. Stella comforts Trina. Michael is cautious and Jake is furious. On Tuesday, Anna is stunned. Carly is determined to get to Jason. Ava comforts Sunny, Curtis is suspicious, and Gregory's symptoms become more pronounced. I didn't like that.
No.
It came out of nowhere. It was, yeah, okay, anyway. Wednesday, Sam and Jason come face to face. Danny and Jake argue. Anna offers a surprising proposal to Dex. Trina makes a heartbreaking confession, and Brooklyn shares a message. On Thursday, tempers fly at Jason's arraignment. Carly and Alexis are surprised.
Carly and Alexis are surprised?
Sonny has his doubts. Sam gets some hope, and Nina is insistent. And then on Friday, Jason meets with Sonny. Ava and Sonny have a close moment. Anna learns some important information. Valentine makes arrangements.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this.
I am so mad at him right now. so mad. Olivia, Danny, and Rocco rush to Dante's bedside.
Okay.
So where do you want to start?
I feel like we should just get the add-ons. like Finn and Chase talking to his dad. I don't know why that was thrown in the middle of this.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't fit this week.
And it's not like we saw Brooklyn talking about it when she went to see Jason or anything like that. So it's not like the repercussions from it.
Right.
Spread.
Right.
It's not like it led to another thing. Yeah.
No, it's just its own little thing that they were getting off the elevator after seeing his doctor. And Chase was like, oh, what's wrong? And Gregory kind of put his foot down with all of them and was like, hey, listen, I know that stuff's changing. Like, I'm the one going through it. You guys need to follow my lead and stop babying me because I want to be as independent as long as I can be. And so then he goes to get an Uber and go home by himself. And Finn's like, hey, you guys might want to move up the wedding. And Chase is so cute. He's like, but Brooklyn already did all this work, blah, blah, blah. And she's equally cute. And it's like, no, all that matters is that your dad's there and that he's enjoying himself as much as possible. And as long as I get to marry you, I don't care. And that was like it.
I really liked it because Brooklyn was like, yeah, all that stuff I would love to still do, but it's way more important that your dad's there. You know, she's like, we're not going to remember, you know, the little things, you know, but she's like, right. You remember who wasn't there.
Right. Right. And I liked that she said it wasn't just about him being there. It was about him, like, still being able to enjoy himself. Like,
right,
she wants to see him dancing with Violet and that kind of stuff was what came across.
Yes, absolutely. They are cute. And she's not gonna worry about wearing Lila's dress anymore.
Yeah, I feel like somebody's gonna come along and like put that together for her.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. You know who would be great at doing something like that would be, I don't know, maybe her godmother.
Maybe.
Brenda. Is Brenda going to mess her goddaughter's wedding?
I don't feel like she should, but
no.
Who knows?
And where Brenda was close with Lila,
mm-hmm.
She could definitely shape that dress to be Brooklyn Lila.
Right. And she's like into all the fashion and stuff. So
right.
I'm sure she has a seamstress on hand. She could fly in with her and they could get that thing together in just a matter of hours.
Yep.
And then Curtis and Laura, I felt like, was kind of misplaced also. Like, Laura's looking for some comfort because she's worried about Heather. She feels weird that she's worried about Heather, but we never hear anything else about Heather. Like, we don't know if she made it through surgery fine or what's going on.
Right. I don't know, but it occurred to Curtis that Jason may have shot him intentionally.
Right.
Like, is that what I was led to believe?
Yeah. Okay. Because Sonny ordered it.
Right.
Why would Sonny want to order? No.
I don't know.
It's like they all lost their minds this week with their ideas. Like, I don't know what Curtis is thinking, but no, Sonny didn't order a hit on you. Like, no. Why would he? And we'll get into all the Sonny conversation about Jason and all that in a minute, but all of his ideas were also irrational. And I was like, what? Where are you guys? Did we all forget the past? Like, what are we doing?
Well, okay. Are we okay with a transition using that?
Sure.
Well, Jason doesn't remember the past as Jason Quartermain, but John Cates sure as heck does and manipulated it. Oh My gosh. The very first thing I wrote down when it was before they even brought up, when Anna brought up, you guys fell for the same girl or something. I wrote down, I was like, Jason Morgan has no memory of Jagger or John Cates.
Nope.
And I don't know why I wrote that down. Like, I wrote down earlier in the week when he went to go see him at the PCPD, there was something that was said that I was like, wait a second, you're not, you don't know him. Like, that's, you don't know him. And then, so John Cates went and questioned him and was like, why did you shoot the sniper? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And then Anna was talking to John about high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, no, no. Anna went and talked to Jason and straight up asked him, did you shoot Dante? And he's like, no. He's like, okay. She's like, okay, I believe you. You know, I know that you wouldn't lie to me about that. And Robin's going to be relieved. And then she said something about, well, I'm surprised that you're working for him. I heard that you guys like went after the same girl in high school. And Jason's like, what are you talking about? I don't remember this.
And exactly. Did everyone forget that I am now Jason Morgan because I had that accident that erased all my memories of Jason Quartermain?
Well, she was probably thinking that John introduced himself as who he is. You know, that I think she was thinking John wouldn't have withheld that from him, but obviously did because... Right. He was like, yeah, John Cates, you know, whatever. And she's like, yeah, his name used to be Jagger. And that's when Jason realized, oh, that's Stone's brother. Oh my gosh, he knows who I am. You know, he definitely 100% manipulated this, again, without telling me that he knew who I was.
Right.
Because Jagger also doesn't know Jason Morgan. So he didn't know. But then he was telling Carly or Anna, the Jason Quartermain I know wouldn't have turned into a killer. Yes, Jagger, that's or John, because he was in an accident.
Right, right. It wasn't the Jason Quartermain that you knew because he had a brain injury.
Right. But just the fact that Jason didn't know that John and Jagger were the same person, he's been working for him since November 2021. And then
I like that Anna had already caught on that something was up, though, because she was like, it doesn't make any sense that you would sit in here and talk to John for an hour with no counsel. Mm-hmm. But then when I start asking you questions, you're like, oh, I want my attorney. What's going on?
Right.
And then once they put the pieces together about John being scum, then he was like, wait. I have a whole story to tell you because, you know, this is not okay going on.
And then he started talking about Britt, and that's when Anna realized nobody had told him yet, and she told him. That was sad.
That was sad.
I did like that he was like, okay, so did they catch the person? She's like, yep. He's like, okay, cool. One less person I have to kill. and then he started into how he's been working for Pikeman. He told John that he was assigned to kill Sonny and John still had him go. And that's when Anna lost it. She's like, wait a second. He went to the warehouse and he knew we were going to be shot at.
And Jason's like, yeah, that's what happened.
But he couldn't allow Sonny to be shot, to be killed.
Right. And then Sam went to visit him. Carly went to visit him and she wasn't allowed in. But Sam went to visit him and she was allowed in. I'm not quite sure why, but okay. And then she goes on and on about, well, first I need to ask you, did you shoot him? And he's like, no. And then he admits that he's seen Danny and she flips out on him and is like, you're no good for him. Stay away from him. Blah, blah, blah. I've raised him on my own. Like, once again, you don't know the circumstances that were going on. Jason would never choose to be away from his kids if he could help it.
I just wish that he had said, I did not reach out to Danny. Danny found... Right. Oh, did he? Did he?
No, Danny found him, and he told Danny to leave him alone. And Danny
Did Jason tell that to Sam, though? Did Jason say, Danny found me?
He said, he did say Danny found me, but he didn't emphasize, like, I then told him, go away. Forget that you saw me. Do not come back here. And he insisted that he help me. And that's when he went and got the medical kit. And then even after he gave me the medical kit, I was like, okay, go away. Do not come back here to see me. And he kept showing up because he's a teenage boy who has a mind of his own and is worried about his dad. And I told him not to tell you because that would have made you an accomplice also. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't about keeping information that I was here or whatever from you. You knew I was somewhere, but I didn't want you getting in trouble also.
Right.
Or being put in the position of telling our son that now that he told you that he knows where I am, that you're going to go turn me in, because he would never forgive you for that.
And I think the answer to why Carly wasn't allowed in, but Sam went when no one else was with him. Carly wanted to go when Anna was in there with him.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
She should have taken a number and sat down and waited, but.
Yeah, I guess. Because Brooklyn said she only got to see him because she knew the desk sergeant because of Dante. Mm-hmm. So I just wasn't sure how it was decided. Yeah.
Right. No.
But maybe that's why Sam got to go, is because the desk sergeant also knew her because of Dante. And so he was like, okay, fine. But it still seemed odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I just didn't like the way that Sam was laying into him and then was like, you're no good for our son. Stay away from us, blah, blah, blah. Like, really? And then later on, she says something about, like, he's just not the man that she knew or something. I'm like, what? Again, are you rewriting history? Like, you may not want to be married to him anymore, but you had a respect for him the way that Carly had a respect for Sonny, no matter what.
Right.
So,
I don't know.
I didn't like all that this week, like people forgetting where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, if Sonny's acting erratic, though, it's explainable because of your boy. So I wasn't sure if Sonny was supposed to already be on those meds that were not as effective or not when he was being so irrational.
I'm going to guess yes. First of all, let's just go there.
Mm-hmm.
He has been the one planning to kill Sonny for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because he's been running Pikeman.
But why? He hasn't been running Pikeman for over a year. Mr. Brennan was.
He's been running Pikeman since Brennan got arrested.
Right. But yeah. He's been working with Pikeman.
Yes.
Basically since Sonny came back from Nixon Falls is what it sounded like almost. When was that? No, I guess that was 22, right? Yeah, that was 22.
Yeah.
But so he's been working for Pikeman. Pikeman's been trying to take Sonny down, but then he's on board with the let's kill Sonny.
Well, I think originally they did say like the plan was for him just to take money and they would use him and then just kill him whenever they were done, like they did everyone else. But Sonny couldn't be bought. And so now the plan has to change to we're going to kill Sonny. You going to defend your man here?
No, like, what the heck? Not at all. Main reason being is that he is messing with his meds.
Yep.
I still do not condone the whole we're going to kill someone thing. But the fact that he is intentionally, this is what I don't understand, because I don't feel like he would do that to Nina.
Right.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And Valentin is not one that doesn't care about the collateral damage, at least from what we've seen. He knows if you mess with somebody's bipolar meds, that could wind up in a catastrophe for the kids, which
right.
I'm sorry. I don't see him being okay with potentially putting children in danger.
Right.
Or Nina in danger.
Yep. Cause she's still throwing herself at Sonny.
Right. And you know that they're going to wind up blaming Ava because that's what she did to Morgan and she's living with Sonny. And so this is all going to come back on Ava.
Yep.
I'm mad at him. There's absolutely zero defense. And then he's still trying to withhold it from Anna or be like, but she can't find out.
Right. Mm-mm. You don't want to find it out because she's going to put the pieces together and then you're going to be in big, big trouble.
I'm not happy about this at all. Okay, so what was the thing when Mr. Brennan, so after Valentin left and the prison guard drove him again and then stopped and he got out and the driver is deaf. And so he did sign language and he said something about Valentin. What was that?
What Brennan said?
Brennan was talking his ear off about you're taking me back home. And, you know, he and I have the same past and blah, 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 blah. And then I think that's when he realized that the guard actually didn't hear what he said, but then the guard signed Valentin to him. Is that what happened? He signed the name Valentin. I didn't understand what was happening there.
Oh, no. See, I thought that he was just signing, like, okay, now we're here. You could go back inside. Everything's fine.
And he was saying, good job, Valentine, because the guy wouldn't have heard.
Right.
And Valentine used somebody's disability to his advantage.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I got out of that, was he had not realized that the guard couldn't hear until he signed that. And then he was like, oh, wow, he thought of everything, which was just gross.
Okay, so I did not obviously pick up on that one until I just talked that through with you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, your man's a scumball.
I really did tear up just because I was so mad at him.
Oh, God, that's funny.
I just don't like when this stuff happens.
You know? They're making him like a real bad guy, because they're like, he even said, like, Anna finds out, man, I'm in so much trouble.
I honestly don't know what to say. It's
just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But yeah, so Sunny's acting irrational because there is the arraignment and they find that Jason can get out on a ridiculously high bail. And so Michael, of course, posts it. And then Jason goes straight to Sunny to explain what was going on. And Sunny's in the middle of screaming at Carly about how he can't trust her and that she's probably been working with Jason secretly for all these years to take Sunny down. And she's right. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I had no idea he was alive. And why would we be trying to take you down? And then Jason gets there and he's like, yeah, I am working for the FBI as an informant because they had something on me. And like, he doesn't get into it, but he flat out says, like, yes, I was protecting me.
I did like that, because that was also, yes, honey, I'm back, but also I'm not really going to put myself at your disposal. I'm not.
Right.
And I don't feel like Sunny, okay, even though we just did the entire mob Corinthos, the Corinthos mob background, and you know, one time Sunny had a hit put out on Jason. So yeah, he did see him as disposable. I don't know. It was so if you just came from the hospital and to see your son, from seeing your son who's been in a coma for a week and a half, and you thought your former best friend shot them, and you had and you know that best friend was now back in town, and you had a bodyguard. Don't you think the bodyguard would be under orders to not let that person in?
Right, and the bodyguard's like,
to give him a nice big hug and say, yeah, welcome back.
Special handshake, buddy. Yeah.
Right. That was weird.
Yep. The whole thing was just ridiculous. And then Ava, I was so disappointed with her too. Like, I know she's a woman that wants to get what she wants, but she saw the text message and didn't immediately tell Sunny and then claimed it as her own. Like, I called the hospital. This is what they told me. Oh no, you can't go visit him yet. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't think Olivia or somebody is going to be like, I text you the second that it happened.
Right. 100%.
And Sam would have called him instantly. Like, there was enough time for Olivia and them to get to the hospital, and no one had said anything to Sunny yet. Like, that's no.
Right.
Just no.
We're kind of going out of order backwards-ish.
Sorry.
No. Because then I was looking and it was, remember when John went to apologize to Carly, and then that's when he said the thing about Jason Quartermain, I knew, wouldn't have done that. And you know, Jason Morgan's a different person and blah. She's like, yeah, Jagger.
Right. Yes. That was so good.
I loved it.
Yes. That was beautiful.
I forget exactly what the entire conversation was, but that was the general.
Yeah. But yeah, he said something about, just because you're not that person anymore doesn't erase that you were that person. And that's whenever she's like, yeah, Jagger, I know.
Yeah.
Boom.
And then prior to that, Michael went to tell Sunny that Jason had turned himself in. And Ava was there. And Sunny said to Carly, your son.
Yep. I was so mad.
So there, okay. With everything else, yes, he could be mad and angry. And people say things to someone when they're mad and angry, you know, whatever, you know, especially when they're lovers or ex-lovers, whatever. But he's not one to bring the kids into it.
Nope.
Even the adult children.
Who would,
he has not been taking his meds properly. His meds have already been messed with. I would say that is probably the indicator.
Right. Because no matter how much he's angry at Michael, he wouldn't disown him like that. And he may not talk to him again, but he would not disown him.
Right.
So that was.
He'll call him Judas left and right, but he will not. Exactly. Jesus still loved Judas.
Right.
Judas just did him dirty.
The Bible, according to Shannon.
Listen, I keep it simple sometimes, okay?
He just did him dirty, okay?
It's the best way to explain it sometimes is just...
Oh, funny. Anyway.
But then Ava and Sunny almost kissed, and then the next night, they did.
Yeah. I just don't like... If she wouldn't have touched his phone, I would have been totally fine with it. Mm-hmm. But once she touched his phone and then lied like she called the hospital, no.
Right.
No.
Oh, and then earlier he was talking about how Sonny was saying something about, I guess he was saying stuff about like how he regrets his line of work now because that's why Dante got shot. And I said, you literally shot him one time.
Right.
And like 5 minutes later, he tells Ava, well, you know, when I shot him.
Yep. Or how about the fact that Michael got shot? Like, that was because of your business also.
Right.
And the kids getting kidnapped. Like, this Dante being shot is the one that you're really regretting. But all that other stuff's just like, oh, it happened.
And yes, Dante was shot because, quote unquote, because. But he was also shot because of his line of work.
Right.
So he had been going after to him them. No matter. Michael being shot as a child was 100,000% strictly because of Sonny.
Yeah.
So Holly's email is, I have problems with Sonny.
Don't we all, girlfriend?
Sonny should just be certain that Jason didn't shoot Dante as Carly and Michael are. Christina should have at least as many doubts as Molly does. Oh, wait a second. Okay, so let's touch on that before we get into all of this. What?
Right. Molly's like, I'm going to have a hard time prosecuting this. I don't know what to do. And Christina's like, what do you mean? He's definitely guilty. And my dad said so. Like, what? You can't think on your own. You had your own relationship with Jason outside of your dad. He freaking saved you from a cult. Like, what?
Well, and that's what everyone kept telling her.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And she's like, no, it doesn't matter. My dad said he's guilty.
And then she even asked Molly, wait a second, isn't you prosecuting him a little bit of a conflict of interest there? He's not, she's like, someone you're so close with. He's her ex-brother-in-law.
Right.
Like, that's beyond close. That's,
yes.
And I Robert thought that was a good idea because he didn't want Robin to be mad at him.
Right.
What, like,
and Anna's like, it's okay. I understand. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Do your job.
Right. Give another ADA. ADAs are multiple, right?
I would think so.
I think especially, it's the district attorney and then there's multiple ADAs.
I believe so. And even if there isn't, I feel like that's a case where you can call one in from another town or whatever and be like,
right.
Hey, this is a conflict of interest. I need your help.
Yep. But then... So Christina says that to Molly, but then when she's fighting with Jocelyn and Jocelyn says, how is that possible? Isn't that a conflict? She's like, what? You don't trust my sister's ability to do her job? It's like, you literally just said the same thing to your sister 5 seconds ago.
Yep.
And then she tells Joss the exact opposite of what Molly says. She tells her, Molly says there's all this evidence. And Molly says, how how do you have this evidence? Because the police don't.
Right.
You know, I was on Molly's side for most of this until she started with her little quips. I will say I laughed so much when she said Mr. Morgan's rap sheet is as long as is longer than a CVS receipt.
Yes.
But that right there, it's like, oh, honey, you just lost your, you need to not say things like that. You say it to your friends.
Right, right. And
Diane saying something like that though too. So never mind. I will take that back. Maybe she was just trying to be on par with Diane.
Yeah, but you're never going to be on par with Diane. And that's what Diane kept saying in her own way, like, stop bringing up all the rest of his crimes. We're here about this one. And I love the way she twisted it and was like, I'm sorry, you're talking about all of the acquittals and not guilties that Mr. Morgan's gone through before? Yes, I am aware of those cases where he was not found to have done anything wrong.
Right. And then, all right, so maybe with that, then we can go back to finishing. I did like Liz basically coming around the corner and telling Christina and Joss, you need to stop this.
Right. You're going
to
get
Joss went
out.
In to find Carly.
Yeah. You don't need to be doing this right now. The court will have its hearing and that's what will happen.
Mm-hmm. So to continue Holly's email, two things. One, everyone keeps going around, but where's he been? Including Sonny and Drew, as if there's no possible explanation. Sonny was in Nixon effing Falls for like a year. Drew was missing and presumed dead for a couple of years. They of all people should be the tiniest bit curious as to Jason's explanation instead of acting like there's no possible explanation.
Yep.
And two, as much as I'm enjoying the red hot chemistry with Ava and Sonny, which was good up until the phone, I can only hope Sonny knows something and is playing her while she's also playing him. Because again, he should know Jason wouldn't do this and Sonny would never trust Ava.
Right.
But I do feel like his thoughts had just changed. You know, he's grown to trust her.
Yeah, but she's definitely helping the situation along by making little side comments of, I'm sorry you don't have anyone else that you can trust. I'm sorry that your best friend abandoned you. I'm sorry that your ex-wife didn't turn out to be who you thought she was. And Sonny even said, how did I ever love her? And I'm like, what?
That was another one. I'm sorry. It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, that was another one.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And then Joss is working earlier. Like, it was the very first scene, I think, was Joss working at Kelly's. Trina came in and she's like, we haven't really spoken since Dex and I broke up. Are you okay? Like, her breakup with Dex. I thought Trina was going to say, because when she said something about, I just don't want to talk about it, because I thought she was basically going to tell Joss, you knew all those things about this guy and you're surprised and you broke up with him and my boyfriend just died. So yeah, right. I'm sorry. I'm just not in the mental space and capacity of being able to listen to you whine about something you've known for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, she turned it to, did it ever occur to you that Jason could have been responsible for shooting Curtis?
Yep.
And
I mean, definitely misguided idea, but I liked that she had reason to be like, you're going on about a boyfriend that you broke up with. I kind of have more stuff to deal with here.
Right. But then Trina goes and supports her at the trial.
Yes.
But after she was kind of dodgy with Joss, she and Stella talked outside of Kelly's or Bobby's. And are you sleeping?
No, I'm not sleeping.
Oh, okay. You like laid down and had your eyes shut. I'm like, wait.
I'm not asleep. No, I had my contacts in for a birthday celebration, and alcohol is very drying, and I have dry eyes to begin with, and so my eyes are owie. So I'm totally with you. You're not putting me to sleep.
I'm like, okay, we'll talk about something else.
I should do that when you bring up Nina. Sorry,
I actually did not write anything down about Nina, so you're going to have to carry that one all your own.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but I forget really what Trina and Stella talked about, but Stella was like, so were you just really going to text me and cancel? Because she just wasn't, because she was talking about Joss, right? And
yeah, she was just basically saying how she just doesn't feel up for anything. She's still really sad. She's really upset. And Stella was like, yeah, and those are normal feelings. Like, there's not a timeline here. But you should also try a little bit to not be quite so sheltered, because if you let yourself, you can sit in this depressive mode for way too long, mm-hmm. and your friends are here for you. So, you know, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, but try not to cancel all your plans all the time.
And she did say about how they had the memorial, but it really wasn't enough because, you know, his body wasn't actually there. And then she went to Spencer's grave site, and she's like, even though I know you're not here, but this is the best we can do. Did you see whose grave he's next to?
No.
He's next to Ruby.
Aww. That makes me happy and sad.
I know. See, like, they pay little details like that.
Right.
And then, okay, here's my question for you. What is your jinx? Did we talk about this before?
I don't think that we have. I was not into the whole jinx thing. Like, okay. I did not do that. So my understanding is that the other person, it's jinx, and then you have to buy me they say soda, which is probably why I don't like it, because it's not soda, it's pop. So there you go.
So that's what my kids say. And both of my kids say soda. I don't know.
Yeah. Something from you.
No, I have always said, I have not always said pop, but for as long as I've lived in Pittsburgh, I've definitely like referred to it as pop. So I have no idea where they started calling it soda, because I know that their parents.
You know their parents.
I know that their dad doesn't. So I don't know.
Huh.
But I grew up where it was, you say the person's full name three times. So like the full name, like first, middle, and last. And it's like, haha, I don't know your middle name. So you're never going to be able to speak again for the rest of your life. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Just curious about that. Anyway, real subject. Brooklyn went to go see Jason and brought him a letter from Monica that said, I believe in you.
That was very sweet. And I like that she re-explained again, like, to him, Monica is not okay, but she is okay. And so she's not here because it would be physically too much for her. She is in a wheelchair, but like, she's on the mend. Right. She wanted you to know she's thinking of you. Here's a letter.
Right.
So that was good.
And then I have Anna did believe Jason, which we already talked about, but then she offered Dex a job at the PCPD.
Yeah. And he again is like, so did you think it over? Now you're going to arrest me, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, I told you before, I'm not trying to get you killed, but maybe you can work here and we can like figure something out. I have a genius plan. This is all going to be wonderful.
I'm like, Jake wants Jason to be arrested and go to jail. And Liz is like,
yeah, the boy's gotten a little bit of a couple. Yeah, that would be hard thinking, like one of you thinking that your dad shot the other one's dad. That would be difficult.
We never really see Danny and Jake as brothers. We see Jake, Cam, and Aiden.
Right.
And Danny and Rocco.
Right.
We don't see Jake and Danny being brothers.
Right. But there had to be some punches thrown this week over it.
I liked everybody's response was basically, all right, so you probably shouldn't have done that, but we definitely understand the...
Right, exactly. Okay, now say you're sorry and move on.
Yeah.
But then on the Nina stuff, Nina didn't do much this week other than whine again about she showed up at the courthouse and Carly's like, Sonny's not here. So if you're here to try to see him, then I'm not sure what you're doing. And she was like, I still love my husband and I still care about his family. And then the trial happened or the arraignment happened. And then Drew is like, hey, Alexis, did you hear the news? And she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I have good news for you. Nina's not going to be she will be your editor, but she won't be around to be the editor as much, blah, blah, blah. And that's whenever Alexis was like, welcome back to the being forced to work with Nina, even though you can't stand her team. And I was like, yes, that's exactly it. I'm so glad that you guys have a little support group, because I feel like you need one because she's so annoying.
Yeah.
So annoying. And confide in Ava still, like, help save my marriage, and Ava's knocking on your man.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a problem.
I want Ava to finally say it. I want her to be like, how loyal did you think I was going to be to you after you cut my baby out of my stomach?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm like, I'm really actually surprised at Ava just because she has made a point of saying, listen, we have a messy past and we've moved past it and we're friends now. So I am surprised at Ava's actions, but she also knows that Sonny is dead set on the divorce, which he has already served the papers.
Right.
And she has said to Nina, stop it. Like, he's not.
Yeah, he's over it.
Yeah. Like, you did something wrong and this is what happens. And I think the only thing we have left is that Sam pleaded with them to not. I did not like how she attacked Portia.
I kind of liked her point, though. If it was roles reversed, would you be like, fine, Curtis can go to the recovery center? Right. I don't think
it was the way that she said it. It wasn't the, okay, but if this was Curtis, would you let them? She was like, well, I'm sure if this was Curtis, you wouldn't have a problem with it. First of all, when she told them, Portia didn't know that that was even a plan. And then it's like Sam was telling her this is the plan. And she was like, oh, well, they must have a good reason. You know, and it was just, you know, she was kind of saying, let me look into it. She wasn't saying, well, that's what they said. So yes, absolutely. She was like, well, they're better equipped with blah, 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 blah. If Sam had just come out and said at the first thing, which was, listen, so Lulu's in a facility, and if Dante goes to a facility, Rocco's going to lose it.
Yes, yes. And Portia would have absolutely understood that from go. It didn't need all the extra drama.
Right. But then Sam was reading a book to Dante. I could not find what book it was. I Googled the exact sentence that she said. Not a clue. The only thing that came up was a lot of Bible verses, which it was not. So I don't know. Do you know what book it was?
I do not. Okay. No.
But then he woke up and I'm kind of mad about the fact that he is Dante.
I'm sorry. I know. I really wanted us to be right and him to reference something from his childhood or his adolescence that we could be like, that's what Cody has done.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it will. Have Sam and Stella really never met?
I think they've only met in passing. It was more like a let's start over than a let's introduce ourselves.
Okay. I was confused by that for a second. So
yeah, that's what I think, because I'm sure they've been around each other. Like she said, Curtis is one of her best friends.
Right.
So, but I just like Stella. I mean, we've always liked Stella. She does such a good job of reassuring people and being there for them. And she's like, I'm not saying that this, like, you shouldn't have feelings about this. I'm saying try to look at the other side. It's not just a place where people go to die. Like, he'd get the best care. But then he woke up and he was like, yeah, by the way, it wasn't Jason. And in fact, Jason saved my life.
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So thankful for that.
I just wonder how much trouble he's going to be in with the FBI, though. Like, do you just get to quit working for the FBI? Like, then.
I'm going to guess no.
Like, no one's looking for him? It's kind of odd.
Well, Valentine's going to be soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, your man, disappointing.
Well, and this is the other thing, is that, so Valentine knew Jason was alive. No, he didn't. He only knew the name. And he said that was, okay. So he did not know that Jason's been alive. Okay.
No. But still, he knew that he was gunning for Sonny as Nina had just married him.
Mm-hmm. While he's madly in love with Anna. So it's not like, this is why I'm confused. It's not like Sonny stole Nina from him. He divorced Nina.
Right. Yeah, he's been over Nina for years.
Right. So what are we, why? And Valentine has moved past being that type of Cassadine, we thought.
Mm-hmm. Maybe once a bad Cassadine, always a bad Cassadine.
Mm. I don't know, but I'm mad. I'm mad at him. We're not talking right now. So
I'm glad you put your foot down.
I did. He's mad. He's upset about it, but he'll learn.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
He will.
Tough love.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it, though.
I think so, too. It was pretty centered on Dante and everybody.
It really was. It was very focused on Dante and Jason. And Sonny.
Yeah.
Oh, I did like when Carly brought him to Bobby's and he's like, oh, that's a nice touch. And then they had a little toast to Bobby.
Yes, yes.
And he said, I'm sorry that I couldn't be here with you when you needed me.
Yes. And she even gave the shout out to Liz and was like, Liz painted that sign. Mm-hmm. So, and then they remembered that there was rooms upstairs.
Do you think I'm psychic? Is that why I have that painted?
Hey, oh yeah, I have multiple rooms upstairs.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Reality check.
So what's your reality check?
It was like an emotional week for me. The good stuff was Emily's birthday was Thursday. And like always, nothing can go the way it is planned. I swear, sometimes I live in a soap opera. Uh-huh. Thursday night, we decide we're going to go to Dave & Buster's because we want something. She doesn't want to get like super drunk. She just wants to have a drink or two, but she wants to be like out, but she wants like the family around and whatever. So we pull into Dave & Buster's and, well, actually I was on my way to Dave & Buster's. I was driving her and like her friends, and then Ryan was driving himself and our other girls. So they beat us there, and Megan calls me as I'm like 5 minutes from there. And she's like, yeah, so they're not open. And I'm like, Megan, that's not funny. Like, we're 5 minutes away and it's Dave & Buster's on a Thursday night. Like, they're definitely open. And she's like, no, somebody bought out the whole place. And I'm like,
they rented out the place. Right. I thought you were just saying that they got bought out.
Oh, no. Sorry. somebody like rented out the place for the night. And I'm like, no, they would have had that posted, like private parties. They mentioned that or whatever. And so I'm literally 5 minutes. So I just go there to figure out what the next step is. And so we get there and Ryan's like, yeah, I walked up to the door and the guy was like, I'm sorry, ma'am. We're not letting anybody else in. Like 5 minutes ago, somebody came in and bought the place for the night, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what are the chances? Like, who does that? And what are the chances?
So first of all, who was it? Secondly, I feel like that's not fair if it wasn't done at least 24 hours in advance. What if you had already been there? Were they going to kick you out?
I think they let the people who were currently in there stay.
Okay.
But they were not letting anyone new in. And to compensate you, they gave you a coupon for buy a $20 card, get $20 free. But I was still like, no, this was like her 21st. And then I felt bad that we weren't there just 10 minutes earlier, because maybe it was somebody like with big money and they'd have bought her a couple rounds and it would have been like a great party or something. But like, what are the chances of that? Seriously, I told her you should go play the lottery, because that does not happen to normal people that they have these birthday plans. So we ended up at the local bar Carl's, which has yummy food and their drinks are way cheaper. And
yes, they are. That used to be my place.
Oh, I love Carl's. Love Carl's. And they're even though they're a bar, they have a restaurant part, so you can take the kids and. Yeah. Teasing Madeline because they have like one of those tall like Jengas with the larger pieces that you can play, and they have like another game that you have to get your chip onto the other side. But then they also have the drinking game where you have to get the hook onto the other hook, and then you like move the shot back and forth.
The circle. It's like the circle's on a string, and then there's a hook on the base. So you have to like throw it and hook it right.
Okay.
And then there's like a shot glass in the middle, and you move it over one every time you get it on the hook. It's normally a two-person game. And then you move it over one every time you get it on the hook. And whoever gets it, and once you get it to the end, you have to swing it one more time on the hook to say, yeah, you have to drink this. And then whoever beat you, the other person has to drink the shot.
Okay. See, they didn't have that when I used to go there, because that was, I just realized that was when I worked at Damon's. That's where I went.
Oh, wow.
So that was 20 years ago.
Yes. We'll have to make a night of going there again. But just for everyone that is concerned of why my 11-year-old knows how a drinking game works, apparently it's on TikTok, because she picked it up and was like, this is how you do this. And I made the joke, like, how do you know how to do this? And she was like, oh, it's on TikTok. So we do not own the game. She is not playing drinking
games. But also, why is she looking up drinking games on TikTok? Madeline, what you doing?
I'm not. It's just on the For You page.
Just on the For You page. So we'll have to look at what you're looking at there. But anyway, we had a very nice time at Carl's. And so last night we ended up going to Dave & Buster's. It was Megan's birthday. but she still wanted like the family friendly whatever. And she wanted special cupcakes from Oakmont Bakery that we talked about last week is a local bakery that's yummy. So she got her special cupcakes and all of that was good. And then tonight we're going over to my mom's to celebrate Megan and Matt's birthday because Matt's birthday is tomorrow. So that was all the good stuff. Good week. Oh, and yesterday Megan had complained that I wasn't off for her birthday the way that I was off for Emily's birthday, which was just the way my schedule fell. I had not requested. So I ended up taking off yesterday. But of course, then she was like, oh, no, I'm going out with Emily. I'm going here, blah, blah, blah. So Madeline and I had a nice little day where we went and got the cupcakes. And then I took her to Sky Zone. And she got to jump some energy out. So I just watched. I was not participating. But the bad part of the week was I went on Tuesday to have my car looked at because I had said somebody rear-ended me a couple weeks ago, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, no big deal. They're going to be like, yeah, you need a new bumper, whatever. The guy comes out, takes one look at my car and is like, yeah, you should not be driving that. The frame is bent and most likely your car is totaled. So I went back the next day because he said
your car when I did 2018.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. So, and it's almost paid off because I think I took my loan for a year longer than you took yours. So it's almost paid off. And it was like the first car that I bought, like all by myself. I didn't need my crappy ex to be part of it. Like I did it and I was so proud of myself. And we were coming to this end of the loan and I was like, woohoo. And then the stupid guy rear ends me. And like I said, I thought it was like nothing. And then the adjuster guy was like, yeah, no, this is bent and you see this here, this is super expensive, blah, blah, blah. So I had to take it back the next day and drop it off and get a rental car and stuff. And he called me like less than a few hours later and was like, yeah, I just submitted the claim to your insurance because this is totaled. And then the extra crappy part is the person that hit me had insurance. So they're like, you can go through yours, but you have to pay like your deductible and whatever, or you can go through theirs and you don't pay anything. So of course I want to go through theirs.
Right.
I call hers and it's this insurance I've never heard of before. And the lady's like, oh, we never got a claim from our person that anything happened. So I have to investigate all this stuff. And there looks like there may be some issues with this policy. So if you want anything done with your car, you'll have to do it with your insurance and then we'll have to fight it out.
After them. I'm like,
are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. It is clearly your guy's fault. He rear-ended me.
Not to put a damper on this, but when was it? 2020, 2021? What year was my Avenger totaled? I forget. But, oh no, it was 2019 because it was the day I went and got my real estate license.
Okay.
My son was taking my daughter to her social group that night because I was going to be a witness for somebody's divorce. And so he's like, no problem. I'll just take her. It was the first time he was taking her. You know, they were all excited or my daughter was more excited. He was more nervous. And then they wound up getting hit and totaled the car. So then my husband gave him his, because we had no car payments at the time. Well, no, we had my Mazda, which I actually paid off a few years ago.
Yay.
But that was used. My Avenger was the first car I ever bought completely by myself. It was brand new, like all the same things. So, I mean, I had it for how long? It's 2008, so 11 years.
Yeah.
And so JD gave him his Suzuki Firenza that was like a 2005. So we took the money from mine being totaled and put it towards, he found a Suzuki X7 or something like that. It was like a little SUV. We only had it for probably like 2 or 3 months because he was turning left onto Verona Road and someone without a license ran a red light and hit him. And they wound up saying that it was JD's fault. That the guy who was driving without a license, I'm sorry, even if all other traffic things, he hit him. Like he hit him. And yeah. So that's why we only had that. And we only had it for like 2 months.
That's awful.
Because it was a used car. I mean, we got it for like $3,000, but still, he loved it. And then, Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
I'm just so mad. What?
And another bad part of our week is that Ollie hasn't been back for a month now.
Yeah.
It's been almost a month.
Yeah, Oliver the cat is still missing.
Has it really already been a month?
It has. It's been a month. So.
Oh, but yeah, because
it was March 1st. So yeah. It'll be on Monday. But the good news is the other cat, the not Oliver cat, he went and got fixed this week and they tested him for leukemia and all that. And he is a healthy, good cat. So we don't have to worry about getting anyone else sick.
And he likes to sleep with me.
And he likes to sleep. Madeline joined us in case no one caught on. She,
but yeah, she's not been here the whole time.
She woke up just for reality check and was like, here, let me give my input. So, but no, anyway.
She just woke up and I heard you guys. Mm-hmm. When I came in.
Alrighty. All right.
Zip your lip. She just woke up.
Shannon's turn.
So on Monday? Yeah, my daughter and I went to it's called the Hiram G. Andrews Center. And basically it is kind of like a tech school, but it's one that she could actually live at. And she liked it. And the way that they have their programs is, so she's still going to finish her 24-25 school year at her current school, but that's the last option. Like that's the longest that she can go. She can't go after that.
Yeah.
So they have where they'll kind of test them, but let's say she's not actually ready socially or academically to be accepted into one of the programs. They kind of have like prep courses that they take. It's year round. It's 4 month terms. They have a week off in August, a week off in April, or whenever Easter falls. And yeah, then 2 weeks in Christmas, like in December. And she would live there. But I feel like where she would go would be the first program where it's three different levels and each level is a term, which is the 4 months. And the first one would start off as, it's more teaching them like the more life skills for being independent and getting ready for those courses. And even if they go and do those courses, doesn't mean that they have to go and get a certificate or diploma. So,
oh, nice.
So it's like she could just go there and get the life skills too. And then she doesn't have to, she can, but they don't have any programs of interest right now. She really wants to learn jewelry making, and they do have a welding class. And I'm like, you could use that for jewelry.
Yes.
But, they do have a 2 week trial that you can do at any time. So I think we're going to set, and she wants to try it, and we're going to try to do that in the fall. So that way, because there's no way we're going to get it up and done before school gets out. And then I said something about summer and she goes, you're not ruining my summer. She didn't mean it like that, but she was just like, right. No, we're not. No, no, no. I said, no. I said, that's fine, because that's where I am too, is no, we're not doing it. We'll wait until the fall. That way it just feels different, you know, then. So she's going to do that. And I'm working on getting more information about it just because, you know, there are certain things that we need to know.
Yeah.
So, but it sounds like there's at least that option. And then on Wednesday, I had a closing, and it was without a fail, every single real estate transaction winds up having something. Even it could go smooth as anything until the last 2 days. And that's what happened here. And it kind of just got like a little wonky Monday and Tuesday. And then Wednesday, the seller calls me. Well, the house had been vacant for a while, and they just did work on the plumbing last week to pass like a municipal requirement. Mm-hmm. And the water authority had just come back from getting her final reading and called her and said, so you definitely have a leak somewhere. It's not a lot to where we're worried about a bust pipe or anything, but it's definitely like it's been consistently leaking since last Thursday at 5. And then we looked at the calendar and we're like, oh, that's when they were doing the repairs on Tuesday was when they were actually, or on Thursday was when they did the final testing. So whoever was doing the testing left one of the faucets on.
Oh, geez.
So she was at work. Closing was at 4. It was like 1 o'clock. I said, I can run over there. It's only 15 minutes away. I can run over there and get it. And I was definitely not going the speed limit, but I was not going as fast as they stopped me for my first speeding ticket in almost 20 years.
Oh, no.
And I even said to him, I said, listen, I said, I'm not going to try to lie to you right now and tell you that I was going to speed limit, because it was through the local park that's around here mm-hmm. that the speed limit's 25. Mm-hmm. I admit, I was not going the speed limit. I said, but I really don't think I was going as fast as you said I was, because he was doing stopwatch, not radar. He was very, very nice. So it's not like I was being argumentative, but I was just like, I honestly, truly don't think I was going that fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess because so many people zip through there, and they do. And I told him, I said, I'm one of the people that have actually called the police because somebody is driving so erratically through here. I guess the residents got together and asked them to do a study. And one of the people allowed him to sit in his driveway, and they painted the white lines. And sure enough, as he's writing up my ticket, someone goes, and when he comes back, he looks at me, he goes, I saw. I'm like, okay. I'm like, so in hindsight, mine's really not that bad. He's like, I can't go after him. I was like, I know. But I'm like, but those are the people. Yes, I was 100%. And so therefore,
right, you'll pay the ticket.
First speeding ticket in almost 20 years. But he told me, he's like, so if you plead not guilty, we could probably negotiate this down to 5 over. Because he wrote down 10. He somehow says that I was going like almost 20.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not me. So I was like, I'll give you the 10. I said, I will 100% give you the 10. I was like, that seems reasonable. So then I didn't know, if you plead not guilty and you try to negotiate down, it's like a sincerely significant amount cheaper.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I didn't even know that you could contest it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that, because I feel like he wouldn't have told me that
if he wasn't willing to work with you.
Right. Especially where somebody went flying by me. So then sure enough, I'm coming back and I'm like, I'm going to go the other way home. I get down to the bottom of New Texas and there is a car flipped over.
Oh my.
So somebody must have run the red light going on 22 as somebody was crossing to go on, because it's how the car was hit. Like the car was flipped this way.
Yeah.
So it looked like everybody was okay. But then, you know, we're all doing the 3-point turn to turn around and go back up the hill. I had to go through the park again. And so I was like, I am going 25 miles an hour. And so I did. And sure enough, somebody is right up on me and decided to go around me and speed away right at the same place that he was sitting, and he wasn't there anymore.
Of course not.
And I'm like, this is who you're supposed to be catching, not me.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, I'm sorry about your speeding ticket.
No, me too. But I don't know. I was just like, yeah, I'm like, this really stinks. Especially where, and I even said, I said, I think it's just funny because I'm seriously trying to get to a house because there's a leaking pipe. I said, and we're not sure what's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sounds like we kind of both had like eventful good and really weird bad weeks.
Yes, exactly.
Bad car weeks.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's it.
Join us on Thursday as we discuss the minor mob families.
Yep. Have a good week and happy anniversary.
And happy Easter.
Yes.
But happy anniversary. Yes. 5 years.
Crazy.
Crazy, crazy. All right. You said have a good week. So yes, we'll meet you at the pier.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's show, we invite you to go to pier54podcast.com to subscribe on your favorite platform. Don't forget to leave us a review. And you can also follow us on many social media channels. Just search for Pier 54 Podcast. Also, we are not perfect, so if there is something that we missed or messed up, just let us know by emailing us at pier54podcast@gmail.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When your skin feels nourished and glows, you radiate confidence. Osea makes giving your skin a glow up easy with their clean, clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This seaweed-powered duo features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.